Welcome to the Globetrotter Lounge podcast, conversations with women who have found creative ways to travel more. This is episode 58, and I'm your host, Jet Set Lizette. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Nisreen Atassi, Senior Director of Global Communications at Expedia and host of the Expedia podcast, Out Travel the System. Nisreen shares what sparked her love of travel, how she ended up living in Dubai, information about the Out Travel the System podcast, and much more. She also talks about why she values and encourages heritage travel and shares resources and tips to help you successfully navigate travel during a pandemic. This conversation felt like the perfect start to the season, and I was left feeling empowered to move forward with my own travel plans for 2022. Just a reminder that all resources mentioned during the episode can be found in the show notes at jetsetlizette.com/episode58. This episode is sponsored by Waypoint Goods, a company that helps empower women to explore the world by designing accessories that support and inspire travel. My favorite is their Infinity Travel Scarf. It has a hidden zipper pocket to keep passports, keys, wallets, and other essentials safe and secure. You can stroll around looking like a local instead of a tourist and don't have to worry about pickpockets. They're offering my listeners a 15% discount. Visit waypointgoods.com and enter JetSet at checkout. This episode is also sponsored by Wanderful, a community that helps all women travel the world by connecting them to each other. They are currently doing a giveaway for tickets to Wanderfest, the first major outdoor travel festival by and for women. It's happening in downtown New Orleans, March 12th and 13th of 2022. I'll be there, and I'd love for you to join me. Visit wanderfestevent.com/jetset to enter. They'll pick a winner on February 1st, and if you have your tickets already, you'll get refunded if you win. All right, with all of that aside, let's go ahead and dive into the interview. All right. Well, welcome, Nisreen, to the Globetrotter Lounge podcast. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So there's so much we could talk about, but I always love to start with asking, what sparked your love of travel?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been traveling my whole life, to be honest, and I realize how big of a privilege that truly, truly is. You know, as a young child, my family's originally from the Middle East, so we frequently would go back to sort of visit my grandparents and extended family and things like that. And my parents always made a point to sort of have a layover in a different destination each year, right? So, you know, my family's originally from Syria, and that's quite a long haul from the United States. So we would always have a layover in Europe, for example, and my parents would change up the destination. And even if we only had like 8 or 10 hours as a layover, they always made us go in and explore the city and really cram that in, because they themselves truly believed the sort of powerful impact that travel can have on someone's lives. And while I didn't necessarily appreciate it as a young child, I think it instilled in me that sort of same love and appreciation that I think now as an adult, I can really sort of see the value in, and I really do appreciate like sort of what they did for us, no matter how exhausting it might have been for both them and us.
Yeah, exactly. Like later when you become a parent, you realize how much it was for them to take you, right?
Yeah, totally, totally. I feel like I was such a brat about it. I really feel bad.
That's why we thank our parents later.
Exactly.
Okay. So when did you start traveling on your own, and what did that look like?
Yeah, so I think I took my first sort of solo international trip when I was in college. My sister, she's only 14 months older than me, actually, and she was doing a semester abroad in London, and I had spring break, and I wanted to go and see her. So that was my first trip, you know, internationally by myself, and it was, you know, just her and I, and we were exploring London together. And I think that was the first time that I started to really research and figure out exactly what I wanted to do and see on my own, right? Because prior to that, my parents would organize everything. They were setting the schedule. They would say, okay, we're going to go here, we're going to do this. But that was probably my first time sort of being on my own and having to do it myself. And so I really, really enjoyed it. There was almost this like certain sense of adventure and freedom that I felt for the first time, you know, traveling internationally. And, you know, I was staying with my sister and, you know, we were staying in like the dorms and things like that. But just being able to wake up every day and say, okay, what are we going to do today? What do we want to see? And I'm proud to say that we did the museums, we did the cultural and historical things. I mean, granted, we definitely went out at night and we got into a little bit of trouble, but, you know, we still went and saw all of the things that I feel like my parents would have wanted us to do. So, you know, it started in college and then I just sort of continued to do it from there. Obviously, I traveled a bit differently back then because I was a broke college kid and even after college, and I've evolved since then. But I would say I really started to travel as a young adult in college.
Okay, great. So after that initial experience, how did you make it happen? I'm assuming you were pretty much like, yeah, I want to keep traveling. I want to do this. So how did you set a trajectory for yourself in your life that would include travel?
Yeah, so I mean, I didn't really plan that much, to be honest. And to be fair, I still don't really plan, even though it's gotten a lot better now that I have a child, sort of forced planning. But literally all the way up until I had the baby, I was such a last minute traveler. And, you know, way back when I was younger, it would literally just be a night out with my friends and we would be sitting there and say, we should do this. And I remember me and my best friend at the time, we were just like sort of, I think like sitting at a bar and I think we had tapas for dinner or something like that. And we were just like, you know, we should go to Spain. Yeah, let's go to Spain. That sounds awesome. And then we just started, you know, we started doing our research and looking into it. And, you know, we figured out what our budget was, which was not very much. And luckily, we were searching at the right time. And so it was around February, which is, you know, shoulder season. Not a very busy time. So it was actually dirt cheap to go to Europe. And so I think that was my first experience really, you know, planning something sort of start to finish on my own. And I think from there, it just sort of continued. I would seek inspiration from all sorts of different places, whether it was, you know, food or curiosity about a culture or even a destination I saw in a movie or read about in a book. And that's sort of how I would plan my travels. And I did a lot of it last minute, which as a young adult who was staying in hostels and flying, you know, taking as many like stops as it would take for me to get there to get the cheapest flight. That's sort of just how I did it. And it worked out for me.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you were doing the last minute travel thing. I think I did do some of that, but I think later because I got into miles and points, I did a lot of way planning ahead. And I love that when you're young and you kind of just go, hey, let's just go now, and how that can actually help you financially because you get that last minute deal or you're in the shoulder season, you know.
But also I think, you know, I didn't put as much because I was just starting off my sort of traveling career, if you will. I didn't have a lot of places that I had been to yet. So any place was a great destination to me. So when you start planning last minute, yes, I started off with a specific destination in mind, but if it felt like it was too expensive, then I would quickly pivot to the next best thing because I wasn't trying to, you know, it's not like I had been to all these places already and I was trying to find a place that I had never been to. I hadn't been anywhere really. So it was nice to, and even the places that I had been to as a child, I recognized it's not the same. I need to actually go back as an adult. I don't just sort of like check it off on my list because I went to Vienna and spent 6 hours there with my parents when I was 8, you know, I was like, I need to go back. So it was a little bit easier to say, okay, well, let's see what else we can find. Where else is it cheap to go?
Right. That flexibility of just like, I'm open. I can just do whatever. Let me see where it's cheap, where what's, you know, whatever comes up, let me try it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what were some of your most memorable travel experiences from early on or even, you know, a little later on?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, that trip to Spain, I still reflect on it and think about it as, you know, so, so fondly. I had such amazing memories, both because, you know, I was staying in sort of hostels and had a little bit of that sort of like backpacker energy going on, which when you stay in hostels, you inevitably get memories and experiences, both good and bad, but they last a lifetime. And, you know, when you reflect on them, you you decide how you want to reflect on them. But I just absolutely loved all of it, right? And it was, there was so much rooted in exploration, and not to date myself, but, you know, this was not a time when cell phones had international roaming packages at the ready. This was not a time when Wi-Fi was absolutely everywhere. So I was using a guidebook, and I remember I was using a guidebook that my parents had used when they went to Spain in the 70s. And I had the exact same guidebook, and it had the markings in there and their notes and stuff like that. And there was just something so special about that. Something so special about using maps, right? Like, we would print out like MapQuest walking directions before we left the hostel. And there was just so much getting lost. Okay, well, what if we take this right turn? And then we would take that right turn, and we would be in front of like a random bar or a club or a restaurant, and we would go in, and then we would start talking to people. And then, you know, and so it was exactly the type of trip that I think people try to engineer today. Now that we have access to so many things, it's hard to engineer that explorative, like get lost, you know, find hidden gems type of vibe. You really do need to actually get lost. And that was super easy to do when you didn't have all this technology. And so it's really funny to see, you know, youth today try to engineer those experiences. And it's a little bit harder, but I think that's why I reflect on that trip so fondly, because it was really the trip that people strive to have, I think, as a young adult.
I love that. I love that story. It made me think of when I was in Maui once with my son. He was maybe about 17 at the time. We accidentally left my phone at home, and he didn't have one at that point. And he's like, what are we going to do? How are we going to find that smoothie stand or whatever we were trying? I was like, watch this. We're going to do it 90s style. Back in the 90s or the 80s, this is what we did. And we'd like try to figure out the sun direction. And then we asked people where, you know, where to go. And then we met people.
Exactly.
And then we got lost and found a car show, you know, and so it was just really cool. So,
Yeah. Novel idea. You know, my husband still loves to buy guidebooks, and he loves buying them secondhand because, you know, he likes to see what are the pages that people had marked in the book and things like that. And I love it. And then when we're, you know, once we're done with the book and that trip, then we sort of pay it forward, and we go and we donate it back to Goodwill and things like that. But there's something to be said for abandoning the technology, at least for a brief period of time. Don't get me wrong. I'm absolutely obsessed with my mobile device, and it provides a lot of value. But, you know, every once in a while, it's kind of nice to go back to the olden days of travel.
Yes. Well, speaking of past travel, I did see that you spent some time in Dubai, right?
Yeah.
Living there.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that, how that happened, why you were there, and how long you were there, and what happened?
Yeah. So this all happened actually very, very quickly. I had, you know, I had just gotten married. I had been living, you know, living in Chicago, which is where I'm, you know, originally from, just outside of Chicago. But I went to school there. My sisters were there. My parents were there. My cousins, all of my friends. And, you know, my husband and I had been married for, I think, about a year. And I remember just sort of sitting there thinking, oh my God, like, if I don't get out now, I'm going to be pregnant and living in the suburbs within the next 2 years. And I'm just not ready for that to be my life just yet. And interestingly enough, thinking about it now for the first time, it came up the exact same way that Spain conversation came up. I was out to brunch with a friend. We had had maybe one too many mimosas. And she was like, you know, I think I'm going to move to Dubai. I love it. And I was like, I want to move to Dubai. And so we just started talking about what that could be like and if we both went there. And it just serendipitously, I was interviewing for another job. When I went to go resign at my current job, they were like, no, we need you to stay. What can we do to get you to stay? And I knew that we had a Dubai office. And I go, oh, well, I want to go and work at the Dubai office. Mind you, I said that, had not even spoken to my husband about it. And they were like, okay, let's look into it. And then, you know, within 24 hours, they were like, fine, you want to go work in Dubai? We'll send you to Dubai. Done.
That's amazing.
I know. I went and I had a conversation with my husband. I was like, listen, I just did something and I didn't think it was going to transpire, but it has. And I really want to go. And I really obviously want you to come with me, but you're going to need to quit your job. We're going to need to like uproot our life. And, you know, he is an incredibly supportive partner and was like, I don't really want to do this, but I can tell you really do want to do this. So we're a package deal now. Looks like we're moving to Dubai. And within a week, we had, this whole thing had transpired, I'm not even kidding you, from like when I was out to brunch drinking mimosas with my friends to when we had made the decision and I said, okay, we're going to go. It was literally 7 days.
What?
Yeah. And then it was, you know, probably about, maybe about, I want to say 3 or 4 months later, I was on the flight. It was crazy. And I went ahead of my husband. So, you know, I did as much as I could to help pack up our house. And then I went out there, stayed in a hotel for the first month while I looked for an apartment. You know, to be fair, I had family who lived there, obviously, because, you know, I'm originally from the Middle East. And after the war began in Syria, a lot of people left and went to Dubai because it had a lot of opportunity. So I knew people there who, you know, could help me out and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, within a month, I got everything set up. And then my husband and my dog came out and that was it. And we lived there for just, you know, almost 2 years. And it was amazing. I think it was an experience that I highly, highly recommend to absolutely anybody. There is just something that you get from living in a foreign country. It gives you perspective. You sort of get exposed to all of these different cultures. I mean, you absolutely do not realize how sheltered we are here in America and what we are exposed to until you go and you live somewhere else outside of the United States. And you just, it opens your eyes to a lot of things. And I am fundamentally a different person since I have been there. I highly recommend. Yeah.
Wow. There's so much I love about that story. All of it. I love how you just, well, yep, similar to the Spain story.
Yeah.
You just said, you know, I think I really want to do this. And then you kind of threw it out there and it just came right back at you. It was like, here we go. Okay, we're doing this. And your amazingly supportive husband. Hello.
I know. I will never forget that. He also never lets me forget that, to be fair.
I'm sure.
I ended up getting, right before I left the States, I ended up getting a tattoo, which is an arrow that is sort of, you know, not a straight arrow, but a little bit off kilter. Because I remember there was a lot of, I was like, oh my God, what have I just done? Like, what if this turns out to be an absolute disaster? And I had read a quote somewhere that said, you know, whatever step you take in life, it's almost always a step forward. Like, just like an arrow, it never goes backwards. It always goes forward. It's never in a, you know, sometimes it's a straight line, sometimes it's not, but it's always forward progress. So I ended up getting an arrow tattoo to just like remind me that even if things don't go exactly the way I want, it's going to push my life forward in some shape or format. And I think that was the first time that I actually became really aware of what I want out of life and actually consciously making the effort to go out and get it.
Love that. Love that story. And I also think, you know, here I am talking to women who found creative ways to travel more. And I think a lot of that is mindset initially.
Yeah,
I mean, underneath
for sure.
Everything, we could come up with all the ways and the, you know, the international pet sitting and the, you know, deals and miles and points and whatever. But really, it starts with like, I can do this.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
And I don't have to worry about, you know, it's I'm moving. And I love what you said. It's like, I'm moving forward. I don't have to understand how it's all going to come together, but I'm going to just move, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think it's just, you know, overthinking things sometimes can yield great results, but sometimes just taking a leap of faith, I think, gets you, especially with travel, you know, a lot of really amazing things can come from the unknown when you're traveling. I am the type of person who loves to, like, once I'm going to a place, I'm just going to go so far into the depths of the internet to find absolutely everything there is to know. I'm going to create an itinerary. I know exactly what I'm going to eat, like how I'm going to get to that restaurant, what time I'm going to leave my hotel. But then at the off chance where I don't have that thing planned and I, you know, take a leap of faith, I was like, you know, I'm just going to go and walk around and see where I end up. You know, obviously sometimes it always turns out okay, but sometimes you have these absolutely amazing experiences and that is what travel memories are made of. So it's all the exact same mental state and how you approach things.
Love it. So let's move a little bit into the now and talk about after Dubai. Actually, I didn't even ask you what your job was there.
Oh, yeah. So I was working for a PR firm at the time, and they had actually needed somebody to go and work in our PR, our agency's office in Dubai and run the Dubai tourism business. So that's actually how I got into shifting from just being a personal lover of travel to someone who personally loves travel, but also was now working actively in travel as well.
Perfect. Okay. So that was an important point, because then I believe next was Expedia.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as part of your job, I believe you're the senior director of global communications.
Correct? I am. Yes.
So as part of your job, you also are the host of the Out Travel the System podcast, which is an incredible resource. I've loved listening to it. So many things there that can help people travel more and travel creatively. So many great hacks and insider tips. So I just want to say, do you have any suggestions for people diving into listening? Because I really encourage people to listen to that show. Do you have any places to start? Start at the beginning. I mean, what do you have any favorite episodes or yeah?
I mean, all of the episodes I think are super valuable to, you know, to an individual depending on where they're at in their trip planning process. And we realized this about halfway through season one when we were looking at how people were listening to the show was people actually don't listen to our show in a series. And you don't have to do that, right? So for anybody coming in, don't feel like you have to start episode one, season one, because it doesn't necessarily build like that. So what I would recommend people do is, and this is sort of the natural behavior that happens, people come in and they find the episode that is going to help deliver information to them that they need at that moment. So if you are somebody who is looking to, you know, plan a trip to Austin, you need some inspiration, you can go in and find our you know, Only In series where we did a deep dive into the city of Austin. We did it for New York and we're doing it for international destinations. So you can come in and sort of use it as part as a planning resource. Obviously, we have the storytelling elements into it. So I love to hear people who just listen to it as they're commuting in, and it just gives them inspiration to want to travel more in their life. But, you know, I would say just come in, cruise through the library, find an episode that is going to sort of serve your needs, whether you're looking for some entertainment and some inspiration, or you're actively planning a trip and want some specifics. We also have really great episodes that just talk about the best time to book, the best time to fly, those like basic mechanics that are just sort of evergreen tips for cost savings and beating crowds. So I love telling people to go in and listen to those because I think it sets a really good base for sort of any sort of future travel planning.
Great. Yeah. And, you know, to that point, I did do that. Of course, I kind of just went in and started looking for what mattered to me. I know I'm going to be doing some heritage travel, DNA travel, you know, it's a thing now, but even before it was a thing, I wanted to do it. And I loved the episode that you had called Traveling Back to Your Roots. And that one was really near and dear to my heart because I have ancestors from Sicily. And I think one of the guests was talking about Sicily.
Yeah.
And then you had talked about how it was valuable for you going back to Syria frequently. So I don't know. That one just was really great for me and a lot of what I'm focusing on in my season. Do you want to say anything about, I'd love to hear what you have to say about heritage travel in particular, maybe your experience with it.
Yeah. You know, I think it is an absolutely fulfilling opportunity for anybody to do if they have the means and the chance to do it. Because even if you aren't somebody who is, you know, I'm first generation born, right? So going back to Syria, seeing the place that my parents went to school, seeing the places that they grew up, hearing the language, eating the food, you know, being immersed in that was really important to my parents because that was the culture that they were striving to bring to life in America, which is really, really difficult, by the way, for parents to do. When you have children who are first generation, you are constantly battling between helping them assimilate to American life, but retaining the culture and the heritage that you know so well, that you know is so valuable. And so being able to travel and immerse yourself in that destination is really important. But even if you aren't first generation born, going back, I think, inevitably creates that connection that you didn't necessarily expect you were going to get. And, you know, for a lot of people, and that's, you know, in the episode when we did that, traveling back to your roots, they knew they had those sort of Italian roots, but they didn't realize just how much it was going to feel like home to them. And that sparks something in an individual. It sparks an appreciation. It sparks, I think, just, you know, a curiosity that maybe you didn't necessarily have before. And maybe you're not always going to have these life-changing moments where you see your like great-great-great-grandfather's name written down in a book or see the chapel where they got married or something along those lines. But it, even if you get a little bit of that, hey, this connects with me, this resonates, if it opens up anything within you, I think it provides a lot of value. I also, you know, especially right now, what's going on in America with Indigenous people and this sort of fight for freedom and these territorial arguments about what's mine and what's not and who discovered this place and who discovered that. I think for people to go back and realize, oh, my heritage, my roots are actually in this country, I think gives somebody a different perspective of what might be going on in the world today. Even if it's just a little bit, to open somebody's eyes to the realities of the world and to give you the added context to the struggles that others are going through, I think is super, super important.
That's an excellent point. So it's not just about our own identity and integration for ourselves, but also about understanding and some perspective on what others might be going through. Yeah, appreciate that. Another topic that, well, there were quite a few that resonated with me, but yeah. I really liked, for example, the reverse road trip hack, or
oh, yeah.
I might be saying
my
the
God.
Title wrong,
that
but
blew
that
my mind.
Was, yeah, just, you know, if you're listening right now, go find that next after this episode, go find that episode
season,
on Out Travel
the two.
System. Yes, season two. So many great tips on how to hack your road trip, save money, like so many things that kind of blew my mind,
yeah.
Including favorite snack foods, which we won't get into now. But
yeah.
Anyway, that was a favorite. I do plan to do some road tripping as part of my heritage travel. And so I was really taking notes. But also, you more recently did the Real Talk about 2021 travel with Onika Raymond, who's one of my,
yeah.
I fangirl about her. I love her.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing.
She's amazing. So yeah, I loved that one. And it seems like you guys have, you know, quite a few resources actually, you know, besides talking about the realities of travel right now, how to deal with those
yeah.
changes, you know, and you have some actual resources at Expedia for travel right now.
We do. And that was, you know, it was something that we created, you know, at the tail end of 2020, knowing that when we started to see that people were, you know, getting back into traveling, booking travel again, and we realized the restrictions and the guidelines and the testing requirements and now proof of vaccination requirements, it was all changing so rapidly. And it was so difficult to find the information that you need, that it was putting our travelers in a really, really tough spot. They were booking flights, showing up, not having the right documentation, trying to then cancel and get a refund, which we all know is an incredibly difficult thing to do, you know, especially with flights and airlines these days. So, you know, we're like, you know, people really need a central resource for this. So we built a portal. If you just look for Expedia Travel Advisor sort of in your search engine of choice, it'll pop up right away. And what it does is it uses it's powered by an engine called Sherpa, which is literally just scrolling the internet and finding all of this information for you. So you put in your point of departure and then your destination that you're going to and the time that you're going, and it'll give you absolutely the latest and greatest. And it'll say, this place has no restrictions. This place has vaccination requirements and things like that. And it'll take you to the place where all of that information is featured. So it's a really, really useful tool. I highly, highly recommend it. I mean, that is literally my number one tip for anybody planning a trip today. Do not plan a trip without knowing exactly what is going on in the destination and what is going on in your state or your home country. Because some of the states are requiring a 14-day quarantine still, right? If you are traveling internationally, when you come back, you need to have a negative COVID test before you even board your flight to come back to the United States. So just because you are an American citizen does not mean that you can just come back whenever you want. So you need to have all of that information, and it's absolutely adding another layer to the sort of complex world of travel, but it's not one that you can overlook right now.
I think that's just incredibly valuable. So I'm really glad that Expedia is offering that. And I think, you know, again, doing this podcast, talking about finding creative ways to travel more, it feels like now we're really pressed to, you know, number one, are we going to travel at all? I know I've canceled some trips, you know.
Sure.
And then there's, well, if I'm going to travel, let me still find a way to do it in, you know, that's going to be responsible, you know, that I'm going to be not stuck somewhere because I didn't do the proper thing, but still know that I can travel.
Yeah.
With this extra information and layer that's needed, but I still can. So
yeah, you can. Yeah.
You know, just opening people's minds a little bit that way too, but just knowing that you have to go and get the right information.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is, and it, this is not just, it's very important now because of the situation what we're in, but in general, it's absolutely okay to book travel in a way that suits your needs and that fits your life and your lifestyle. There's like this bizarre mentality that we have that says, you know, we have to have the absolute cheapest ticket for our airfare, even if it means like not a great experience, even if it means taking an extra 5 hours to get to your destination. Or, you know, we feel like there are all these certain rules of travel that we have to live by based off of either the way others are traveling or things that we have heard or perceived ways of traveling that we learned as we were growing up. But you know what? There are no rules. The only rule is that you got to do what's right for you. So that's why I stopped booking basic economy fares or saver fares because that doesn't work for me. I need that flexibility. I need to be able to bring a carry-on. I need to be able to choose my seat. And if I, you know, show up and I start having to pay extras and I end up at the last row in the middle seat, it's just my trip is not going to start off the way I want it to. And so I would rather take fewer trips, but be able to really invest in getting exactly what I want out of them. And, you know, especially right now, don't put yourself in a situation that is going to ruin your experience. If you want to have that peace of mind that you get from having flexibility, being able to cancel your trip and know that you can either get a full refund or get a credit that you can use, make sure it's flexible. There are no rules. You don't have to book like non-refundable, non-like changeable airfares if you don't want to. You have a choice in life.
Yeah. And it all is coming back once again as we wrap up to flexibility too. Like,
yeah.
I feel like maybe now it's been highlighted more than ever, right? Like, we got to be flexible. We can make those plans, but we don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, get it set up in a way that's going to be flexible for you. And like you said, works for you.
Exactly. You and, have choices. You know, we have yeah. choices, you know?
Yep. Yep. So I know I'm looking forward to, we have plans to go to Mexico in the dead of winter. And there's a lot of, you know, we've been to these particular places in Zihuatanejo. We know what to expect. There's a lot of outdoorness all the time, be outside. Do you have any fun things that you're planning for now, knowing that it might have to change, but anything you're planning for travel?
You know, not really, to be honest, because, you know, I think there's a couple things I haven't been back for like a family holiday in Chicago in a while. So we've been talking a little bit about whether we want to go back to Chicago for Thanksgiving. But, you know, because Expedia is still working remote, obviously you have a choice to come into the office if you want. But, you know, we're still remote at least through the end of the year. And so we did this last year, and I think we might do it again, where we actually went and lived in Florida for an extended period of time, just in the dark, dreary months of, you know, the Seattle winters. So just starting to think about if we want to do that again. So maybe going to Chicago, spending Thanksgiving, and then, you know, going from Chicago straight to Florida and spending the rest of the year maybe down in Florida just to get a little bit of that sunshine and things like that. But it's been a long time for me to have gone without any international travel. I'm not sure if I'm quite mentally ready for it yet, but I know that the bug and the itch is there. And so I'm starting to think about, okay, well, if I am going to go internationally, where am I going to go? How long am I going to go for? Am I going to go, you know, am I going to try and make it a work trip, or do I want to take the baby with me and things like that? So I'm starting to think through what that might potentially look like either at the end of this year or maybe the beginning of next year.
Great. Well, and it is fun to start thinking about it, no matter how it all shakes out. I feel like that's what I've learned through this whole period of time of the pandemic, is just like, I can still dream about it. I can still think about it. And I love what you did with going to Florida. Some of my friends were in Barbados for 2 months.
Oh my God, it's
actually
amazing.
4 or 5 months. They went for 2 months and they just stayed.
Why am I going to Florida? Maybe I should just go.
And I've had a number of friends go to Mexico, which is why we're going there. They've successfully gone. But yeah, it's like, you know, I know it's going to come around again. And so I'm just excited for that. So thanks so much for being on the show. You've already offered so many great tips. Any final words for women in particular who are wanting to travel more, or people, but you know, a lot of women listen to this show. So any final tips or advice?
You know, I think my tip for women is, and this is especially true for moms, we have a tendency to be incredibly selfless people who we acquiesce to others a lot of the time, whether it's our partners or our children or our sort of work requirements and things like that. We have a tendency to not put ourselves and our needs first. And my tip for everybody is, now is a great time to do that, right? There are still decent deals out there to be had for traveling. You can book early, and if you book flexible, you can have, you know, if it doesn't actually work out, you can always sort of make those changes, but consider taking that big trip, right? Whether it's a solo trip to the state, you know, next door, or whether it's a solo trip to Bali, whatever it is, maybe it's a girls' weekend in Mexico, whatever that sort of trip is that you've been dreaming about and thinking about, just do it. Plan it. Take it. Put yourself first. It is absolutely okay and the right thing to do. And you know what? The people around you will support you. If they love you, they will support your dreams, right? And again, it doesn't have to be like a massive eat, pray, love type situation where you're going to Italy and then Bali and then, you know, India or whatever. But if that's what you want, get after it and go and do it. And your loved ones and the people around you will absolutely support you. But do what you want. The pandemic has given us all so much time to self-reflect. So I think emerging a bit of a different person that prioritizes himself and prioritizes their self-care, I think, is the sort of topic du jour and thing that is much more acceptable now. So that is my thing for women. Don't fall into the trap of being somebody who, you know, lives their life for others. Live your life for you. Take that trip, girl.
Love it. Thank you so much. Everything you said was perfect.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And where can people find you?
Yeah. So I am at NIZ21 on Instagram. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm Nis Loves Travel. But of course, go ahead and download Out Travel the System on your podcast player of choice. And you can hear all of the amazing adventures and stories and tips that I have to share.
I'm definitely subscribed. So yes, I will be listening in. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you for having me, Lizette. This has been so much fun.
Thanks for listening to the Globetrotter Lounge podcast. This episode was produced by my podcast manager, Marcy Page. Show notes and resource links can be found at jetsetlizette.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and tell your friends about the show. Thanks so much for tuning in and getting some travel inspiration. Remember, life is short, travel more.